It's a joy to have you in the house of the Lord. We appreciate you being here. And if you will, you have your Bibles open to the book of Ruth. I started to say a while ago, I have been preaching through the book of Isaiah. I have not forgotten that. We're coming back to Isaiah 41 very soon. I kind of got hung up on the eagles. But we'll start back on that, the Lord willing, on next Sunday. But I want to share this morning. This was on my heart. I had a message prepared on first fruits, and I'll do that some other time. But this is something that's on my heart that I want to share with you today. I want to begin reading, and if you allow me, I'm going to read a good bit of this chapter, this whole chapter. And if you listen carefully, I'll read. You have to watch as I read. Listen. And book of Ruth in chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem of Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Ophar, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women were left of her, the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return into the from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judea. And Naomi said to the two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And then she kissed them, and they lift up their voice and wept. They said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them until they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieve me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And they lift up their voice and wept. And Ophar kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Then she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her. Then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And they said unto them, she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" And Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. I want you to look back, and will you note in your Bible, and if you underline or you accent in your Bible, look at verse 21 and listen to the testimony of Naomi. She said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on coming home empty. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would do that that no man could do. I pray, God, you'd convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray, God, you'd draw by your grace. And I pray, God, that some here this morning who've entered this good, lively service with the wonderful singing and great specials and, Lord, good fellowship, that they in their own heart have an emptiness. And I pray, God, this morning that that emptiness would be filled with the very presence of God. I pray, God, for every man, woman, boy, and girl who may not know Christ in a very personal way and know that heaven's their home, that they'd be saved today. And God, I pray for those who are Christians, and yet, our Father, their lives are empty spiritually. Our Father, they don't have the joy of the Lord or the power of your presence. And I pray, God, that you'd make yourself real. And this morning, we can have real revival in this country, in this church, and, Lord, across this world. I pray, God, in these last days, you'd visit your people, give special anointing, our Father, to the men of God who stand to preach around the world today. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would move, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you're going to do here in this building. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a wonderful story about this family. Now, I want you to look very carefully, and I'll kind of give it to you quickly because I know you're ready to go eat. But in this story, there's a family, and the father's name is Elimelech. That means the Lord is king, or God is king. Actually, it's a testimony. He's saying that God is the ruler of my life. He's in control. He's my king. I'm his servant. And king is not a pauper. He's not poor. He's got great riches. And he says, the king, the Lord is my king. I'm a subject of his. And this particular man lived in a place called Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. And what a wonderful place to live, in the house of bread. When I was in Germany quite a few years ago, in every little community, they have a bakery. And every morning, the residents of that town go down and they get their own, get fresh bread. And boy, you're talking about something that's a wonderful smell, to smell the odor coming out of that baccarat, coming out that baked goods, and to see them with the baskets and the fresh baked breads. Oh, it's something. But can you imagine living in a place called the house of bread? He was of the tribe of Judah. That means joyous, and that means praise and worship. And he lived in that place, and what a wonderful place it is. He lived in Judah, but he was of the tribe of Ephraim. And that means a place of fruitfulness. And so here's a guy who says, the Lord's my king. And his name means the Lord is king. He's in control of everything. And he lives in Judah, which means praise, or joy, or happy. He lives in that place. He lives in the city of Bethlehem, which means a house of bread. And he's from the tribe of Ephraim, which means fruitful. Man, he's got everything going for him. But something happens. You remember God's brought them into the promised land, and this is during the day of the judges, before they ever had earthly kings. God was his king. But the Bible, if you look at it carefully, the latter part of chapter of Judges, it says this, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They started doing things their own way. And Ephraim was no different than they were. You see, what had happened is that there came a famine in that land. Now, why did the famine come? If you have your Bible, will you turn back with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy? Just turn right just a little ways to the book of Deuteronomy and look at chapter number 11. And I think we might find a little clue as to why there's a famine in the land. I mean, here you are in a place called the house of bread, and yet there's a famine. What's going on? Chapter number 11, look at verse 13. The Lord says this. He's warning them about when they come into the land of promise where Elimelech is now living. He said, when you come into that land, he said to all the children of Israel, when you come to that land, you possess the land, you're to obey me and serve me. But now look at verse 13 of chapter number 11 of the book of Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently to my command, which I command you this day, to love the Lord with your to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Now, that's God's plan. It's God's plan that when they come into the land, that they're going to love God, they're going to serve him, keep his commandments. He's going to send the rain. He's going to bless them. The crops are going to grow. The animals are going to be healthy. They're going to have plenty of pork chop. No, they didn't eat pork chop. They're going to have plenty of steak. They're going to have plenty of corn, butter, beans, and snap beans, and all of that. They're going to have everything they need if they obey God. But what if they don't obey God? Look at verse 16. Take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain and that the land yield not her fruit unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Now listen, he said, when you go into that land, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. I'll give you all you need. But if you disobey me and you begin to wander and get out of fellowship with me and get away from me, he said, I'm going to cut the water off. I'll cut the rain off. Now, is he doing that because he's mad at them? No. He wants them to be blessed. He wants them to have the good land. He's warning them. If you're not careful, if you go out that way, he said, you're going to end up in trouble. And I want you to know that it's God's plan that you be full. The Lord said this, words have I spoken to you that your joy might be full. God wants you to be full. He wants you to be full of joy. He wants you to be full of happiness. He wants you to have the power of God on you. He wants you to be used to the Lord. And he wants you to love him and obey him. And if you do that, he's made these promises to you. But now watch what happened. They didn't do that. But now listen to what God said. Turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles. He said, now if you disobey me, now we're going to go over into the period of kings. If you disobey me, he said, I'm going to cut the water off. And he said, I'll bring judgment on you. I'll bring chastening on you. But turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Very familiar passage of scripture. We read about revival. Now here they are in the land. And evidently what's happened, God said was going to happen. They turned their eyes off of God. They began to drift. They got full. They got satisfied. They didn't think they needed God anymore. Everything was going fine. And they get off in the land of promise. But they've turned their eyes off of God. They've quit serving him. And so what happens to them is famine comes. Now, I'm going to show you what Elimelech did, but I want to show you what God said you ought to do. When that happens, I mean, when God begins to get your attention, I mean, when the water's cut off and things begin to happen, problems in your home and problems in your family, and you recognize that the chastening hand of God's on you, what are you supposed to do? Well, let's see what God says. Notice in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And then he goes on to say, now my eyes are open and my ears are attentive to the prayer that's made in this place. Now here's what he said. He said, if you disobey me, I'll send judgment, chastening. And he said, if you hear me, if you understand what I'm saying, he said, then if you'll repent, then if you'll turn around and you'll repent of the things you've done and you'll seek me, you'll humble yourselves and pray and turn from your wicked ways, he said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, I'll heal your land. But now what does Elimelech do? When the famine came, he's living in the house of bread and something's not right. But he doesn't obey what God said to do. He does what's right in every man's eyes. He takes off running. You see people that began to drift a little bit in the relationship to the Lord, relationship to the church. And they begin to get out of church a little bit, and then God begins to speak to them. God begins to kind of get their attention a little bit. But instead of getting right with God, instead of getting back in church, instead of getting right relationship with him, they run off to Moab. You see, here's a man who put the physical above the spiritual. There's famine in the land, no doubt about that. But there was a spiritual need there, more than just bread. And he put his family in jeopardy because he sought to meet physical needs instead of spiritual needs. And can I tell you something? In an economy you're living in, you're going to have to be very careful. Because if you're not careful, you'll begin to be overwhelmed with physical needs. And the first thing you'll cut out is your church and your faithfulness to God and your giving and your tithing and your witnessing and your soul winning. You'll make the same mistake Elimelech did. He chose the physical over the spiritual. Second thing he did, he responded from a human standpoint instead of from God's standpoint. And he ran from the presence of God. He ran from the house of bread. He ran from the place of praise. He ran from the place of fruitfulness. Man, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. I mean, being in fellowship with God and being right with God, that's where it's at. That's where the joy is at. That's where the victory is at. That's where the blessings are. And you've got to remember that. But Elimelech leaves. Now watch what happens. He thinks like a human thinks. The Bible said he went to sojourn, which means I'm going to take a little trip. You know, remember Gilligan's Island? 3-hour tour, lasted about 9 seasons, best I can remember. I didn't know Mary Ann could pack that much clothes, but she did. Going on a sojourn means we're going to take a little trip. We're going to run down here to Moab, and we're going to stay just a little while. Now, what is Moab? Moab, the word Moab means God's washpot. God put it right. I mean, they went down to God's washpot. And they went to sojourn. But if you read the text very carefully, it says, first of all, they continued there. And then the next step said they spent 10 years there. And there are folk, my dear friend, who are not here today. They're not excited about what God's doing. They're not happy in the Lord. They're not rejoicing in the Lord because they were going to get out of fellowship with God or out of church for just a little while. Now their life's a wreck. Because they listened to the flesh and listened to the world, listened to the devil instead of what God said. And here they are, and they're down in this place, and the first thing happens is Elimelech dies, the daddy dies. The boys end up marrying Moabite girls. They don't live very long, and they die. And here's Naomi. And she hears that God has visited his land. Now, I'm glad that everybody didn't leave Bethlehem. I'm glad that everybody didn't pack up when the rowing got tough and quit. I'm glad that everybody didn't say, I'm tired of all this. I'm going to do something different. Somebody stayed in Bethlehem. Somebody stayed and prayed. Somebody got right with God. Somebody wanted revival. And God did visit their land. And I'll tell you, if it comes, it's not going to be from a bunch of people who throw in the towel and quit and turn tail and run and who every little thing in the world discourages them and they get out of church. It's going to be that crowd who's willing to stay that's going to get the blessing. And so they seek God in Bethlehem, and God visits them with bread, but she heard it. People are talking about it. Now, don't you love it when God's talking about, people are talking about blessings of God? I hear more stuff than I want to hear. And very little of it's about blessings. But boy, I do hear some blessings. I hear some blessings. But listen, God's a moving and God's blessing. And she hears about that. And God wakens a longing in her heart to go home. But as she comes back home, they look at her and they said, is this Naomi? You know what Naomi means? Naomi means pleasant, means happy. And she said, don't call me pleasant anymore. They looked at her and they said, is this her? Is this the one who at one time had such joy and such victory and was so pleasant? I tell you one thing, sin robs you. It'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your victory. In her situation, disobedience cost them their family and their fortune. Lost it all. Is this Naomi? Is this the one who left out pleasant? And she said, don't call me Naomi. I went out full. Now, I've looked at that 100 times. They were living in the land of bread. And in Naomi's mind, they were full. There was a famine in the land. Now, I remember when I was in school in Tennessee Temple 100 years ago, on 2 or 3 different occasions, we had to go to rescue mission and get food. We didn't have an angel food network like God's blessed us to have here. And I'd go up down the back alley and I'd pick up bottles. I worked at a place, but I had to pay my school bill and pay my rent and everything else. I went to school in the daytime and worked at night. But it was tough financially. We lived in a little 2-room apartment, a kitchen and a living room, bedroom combination. And we were eating lunch one day and Regina had fried some fat back and cooked some dried beans and made some biscuits. That's all we had money for. And we ate that meal. It's wonderful. I had enough money left over when I bought those dried beans and fat back that I bought the children 2 pieces of bubble gum. Boy, you'd have thought I took them to Walmart and bought them an Xbox. Y'all missed out on that. It cost y'all a lot more to make your youngins happy. But anyhow, I gave them a little piece of bubble gum. They were tickled to death because it had a cartoon. You can chew it and read the cartoon on the inside of it all at the same time. I sat there a few minutes and I told my wife, I said, you know what? I said, when we were growing up, we were poor. My family was poor growing. And I said, Mama cooked this all the time. Dried beans, fat back, dried beans. And I said, I thought she just cooked it because it was good. But she cooked it because we was poor and I never knew it. Naomi testifies this. She said, there was a famine in the land when we left, but I left out full. And if you think back where you were at when you left your fellowship and relationship and your closeness to God, you didn't leave out empty. You left out full. The devil blinded you. He lied to you. He tried to make you think things wasn't right. And you listened to him. But you went out full. She didn't have the very best of clothes, but she had good clothes. Maybe she didn't have the greatest fare to eat, but she had a wonderful good time. And the kids were happy and everybody was happy around the house. But they got out of fellowship with God. Left out full. And now she comes home, her testimony, empty. Comes back empty. She's lost her family. She's lost her fortune. She's lost her testimony. She's lost her joy. Lost it all. But God wouldn't have put this story in this book just for that. Because history is written with the stories of failures and shipwrecks and total wrecks. But he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to resurrect the dead. I've come to bind up the wounded. I've come to make that broken whole again. That's what this book's about. The Bible says when they came back, they came back in the beginning of harvest. Isn't that ironic that somebody else has already got the crop planted, already grown, already full heads of grain, already got everything, already got the stage set for when she comes back? I thought about that prodigal son who came home after eating in the hog pen and his daddy's already got a cow fattened or got a calf fattened for him there. Already got the best robe laid out. Already got shoe. Got everything ready for him. Just couldn't hardly wait for him to get back home. Can I say something to you? You might be running on empty today, but he's got everything ready for you to come back home. He's got everything you need. Everything you need. Oh, look. When they came back in the Word of God, he already gave beforehand in the book of Deuteronomy. He gave them instructions. The land was to be divided, and if for some reason or other a portion of land, it's always going to stay in that family. If it ever had to be sold because of hardship, whatever, it would go back to them at a certain time. Or if the people themselves didn't have the money, a near kinsman could step up and pay that mortgage off, and they could have the land back. And as it turns out, all of Elimelech's land's gone, all of Naomi's land's gone, but there is a kinsman redeemer. And in all of that land, the Bible says that when Ruth went out to glean, God made provisions that when the reapers came through and they harvested the crop, that they would leave the corners of the field, and the poor people came through and they got what was left over, kind of like when they dig sweet potatoes around here. And you can go out and get a pickup truck load of sweet potatoes if you want to. And it just so happened, the Bible said, it just happened that of all the fields and all the land, all over Israel, that Ruth went to the field that belonged to Boaz, which was their kinsman redeemer. No accident at all. God had everything planned and orchestrated. He already had a plan to redeem Naomi. Already had a plan to redeem Ruth. He already had that plan in motion. And God in His divine providence worked so wonderfully. He spoke to Ruth and He said, Boaz did, and He said, don't ever go glean behind any other reapers. You stay behind men. I've told my men to take good care of you. If you get thirsty, they'll give you water. Then He went to the men. He said, now here's what I want you to do. He said, as you're gleaning the fields, I want you to drop some handfuls on purpose. You see, what the poor people are supposed to do is go around the edge and just get all the scraps. But he said, when you cut off them big stalks of barley and it's just hanging full of grain, every now and then take one of those bundles and just drop it right where Ruth's coming, right behind you. God's working and God's preparing. And God has a plan. The story progresses. And Boaz redeems Ruth and Naomi. And he pays off all their mortgage. And they become, Ruth and Boaz become husband and wife. She becomes the great-grandmother of David, the great king. And here they are, God's divine plan. And out of that love relationship, another little boy's name is born. His name is Obed, and his name is Worship. Now, when they left the land of Moab, they thought it was the darkest day of their life. Naomi lost her husband, lost her boys, lost everything. But when she came back home, the emphasis is not on empty, but it's on home. She came back home. And my dear friend, when the prodigal came back home, the Father blessed him. And when the saints of God come back and get back in fellowship with the Lord, He blesses them. There's a place for you. You say, preacher, you don't know what a wreck my life is. God does. God does. They lived 10 years in that situation down there. And God had everything just perfect when they got back home. I'll tell you right now, God wishes for you that your joy would be full. He's got a plan. And the greatest joy is this, knowing that all your sins are forgiven. No, nothing like that. And He's got adequate provision already made. He said, if you'll come to Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's got all your needs already met. The sin debt's already been paid. And He can forgive every sin if you'll come to Him. And if you'll come and receive Him as your Savior and Lord, this morning He'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Forgive all of your sin. It's already ready. Got it all laid out. Everything's ready. And for the saints of God who are here, and maybe you've been running on empty, maybe you're not close to Him, I'm telling you now, you're living in the last days. You're right down near the end. And we need to do everything we can for Jesus and be faithful to win our family and friends to the Lord and live for Jesus. Be on fire for the Lord and be involved in everything you can to get souls saved. Get the gospel out in these last days. And these can be the most exciting days of your Christian experience you've ever had. Man, we're near the end of the race. We're near the end of the race. And God can use you. And He will use you if you'll yield yourself to Him. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. That was God's plan for Elimelech. That was God's plan. But He went His way. I'm glad God's got a plan when we mess up that He can redeem us. And there's been a lot of tragedy and heartache in your lives and in my life. But I'm here to tell you today that God can make it all right. God can turn it around. And He will if you'll yield to Him. You say, Brother Billy, I don't see how in the world God could ever do that. He's got a plan. He's got a plan.